FM Stereo.
This is ZFM Stereo, my station, your station. It is a Wednesday evening. It is 7:32 p.m. And we are broadcasting live from Newlands in Harare. Our frequency is 106.4. We are available on other frequencies across the great nation of Zimbabwe. But you can also catch us live from anywhere in the world on the ZFM Stereo website as well as TuneIn app. Tonight we are talking about the by-elections that will take place on the 9th of December. The nomination court sat yesterday to receive nominations for those members of parliament and councillors who will be standing in those by-elections. This follows the recall of legislators and representatives from the opposition CCC by the person calling themselves the interim secretary general of the party, who we hosted on this program last week, Sengezo Chabangu. Now we're going to be speaking to a political analyst about those forthcoming elections, what the expectations are, what the projections are, and what it just means for Zimbabwe's political space. But before we get to that, earlier we had an opportunity to speak to Mr. Chabangu himself, as well as his lawyer, just to talk about the nomination process that happened yesterday, because we do know that some of those recalled members of parliament filed their papers. So here's a clip that we spoke to him on the phone earlier, Mr. Chabangu and his lawyer, who is Ngwani Sithole. Here's what they had to say a bit earlier, and then we'll hear from our other guests.
Well, we are currently taking instructions on that, but on the face of it, definitely that was it's just a legal nullity. The institution that expelled them cannot just but accept them, in our view, just because they filed. You know, it's just a political spectacle that they're working on. But let me get instructions from the client, then I'll give you a comprehensive response. But on the face of it, to us, it's just a political spectacle. There is nothing other than that. I'm reliably informed, yes. Yeah, okay. Well, that is not the legal aspect. Let me tell him to answer that. Ngwani Sithole.
Yes, we did. I think you saw, we feel that all the non-constituencies, 5 in Bulawayo, 2 in Mat North and 1 in Mat South and 1 in Harare.
That was Ngobani Sithole, the lawyer for Sengezo Chabangu. We also heard from Sengezo Chabangu there, just speaking about the fact that the CCC fielded candidates in all the vacant, in all the constituencies where they are, that have fallen vacant due to the recalls that did take place. Now, we have heard, and certainly allegations have been leveled against Mr. Chabangu, alleging that he is working in cahoots with the ruling party to try and destabilize the opposition, also to try and secure a two-thirds majority by way of recalling these members of parliament and perhaps opening the door for the ruling party to win those seats. We put those allegations to Mr. Marapira, who is a spokesperson for the ruling party, and here's what he had to say in response to those allegations of working together with Chabangu.
It has never been desperate since 1963. It is not desperate today. So really, such false claims by morally and politically bankrupt individuals do not bother us. Neither do they take much of our attention. Any Zimbabwean with a modicum of sanity knows that that is some serious nonsense. It is impossible, and it is not possible. ZANU-PF does not work with anyone outside of ZANU-PF in politics.
Ah, okay. Thank you so much for that.
We do not know Senator Chabangu within our structures.
Ah, okay.
Senator Chabangu has been in the opposition structures for donkey years. They are better placed to know when they had their problems and why. They should stop their denialism and face up to the facts of the realities that they've got inept leadership, that they are not democratic, that they've got no structures, no constitution, that they are playing in a game of politics in which they do not know how to stick to the rules. So they are only facing the consequences of their own inadequacies. Of course, they would love to blame ZANU-PF, but this is not our fault.
Well, there you've heard it. That was Farai Marapida of the ruling ZANU-PF party. Earlier, we heard from Singers of Chabangwe and his lawyer just responding to issues to do with those by-elections happening on the 9th of December. Nomination court sat yesterday, and that'll be the focus of our discussion today. As I mentioned earlier, I'm joined on the line by Elton Ziki, who is a political analyst, to unpack these forthcoming elections and just to talk about these developments that we've been seeing in the opposition party, as well as just the political space in Zimbabwe. Mr. Ziki, it is a pleasure to have you on ZFM Stereo. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, but you're a bit faint, Farai.
I'm a bit faint. Okay, let me just try and boost my... Can you hear me any better now? Very much better now. Okay, great.
Yes.
Fantastic. So, as I said, by-elections, as we all know, declared the proclaimed 9th of December is when these will take place. First of all, I just wanted to seek your views on, what it means for a nation where we've just come out of an election and we are going into another election already. Often people say that Zimbabwe is always in election mode, and perhaps this is living up to that to those claims, because straight out of an election, we are going into another one.
Yes, true, Farai, and listeners out there. It is so much of that paradox that has presented itself to live up to the billing of the statement that Zimbabwe has gone into a perpetual cycle of being in an election mode. But what is essential is that at that juncture, we are also presented with a scenario where we are abiding and following the letter and spirit of our constitution with regards to the representation of the will of the people by electing officials into public office.
Uh-huh.
And having said that, you want to pay attention to the fact that as prescribed in the constitution, that Zimbabwe must hold elections at every turn of the five-year term that will have expired. And given this scenario, it hasn't occurred that soon after a general and harmonized election, you'd have the internal situation within the opposition body politic where there is no cohesion, there is much to state with regards to the direction of confusion and disorganization.
Uh-huh.
And this really is a arc that stops at the door of the Triple C in terms of having elected the requisite organizational and institutional just that are now for a defined and concretized system in terms of who is occupying what position within the opposition body politic.
Uh-huh.
And on that note, you also want to pay attention to the fact that if that were not the case, we would have just gone through the 23-24 August harmonized elections and gone on to the business of the lower and upper houses that will have been elected and all the other members through the proportional and the youth quota representation. But that's not the case, and we find ourselves with the presidential proclamation after the recall within the opposition to say, no, these are not our members.
Uh-huh.
And those that have been recalled have been deemed as such within the opposition fluidity in terms of its formation. But uh-huh. We would want to see as Zimbabweans, even as the electorate, so that there is no electoral fatigue within the electorate, and which creates ultimately at the end voter apathy.
Yeah, certainly that was one of the things I was actually going to ask you on, because previously, in previous by-elections, we've seen that there has been that apathy. The numbers are not as high as they are when it is a general election. And I would imagine this is not peculiar to Zimbabwe alone, but I think the stakes are a lot higher when it is a general election and not a by-election. But we're coming so soon after the general election. Do you think there will be that fatigue, or people will turn out? Because again, we're, you know, there's this sense that we are still, you know, we want to either vote back these people or vote in new people. Those who lost are saying, look, here's another opportunity. So maybe now I can, where I narrowly missed out, I can now make it. Or the person that we wanted narrowly missed out, let's now go out in numbers to give them the victory.
Yes, Farai, I like the way you structured the context of the question in terms of the areas of focus in with the needs that are to be satisfied with the presentation that you've just proffered. I think the key issues that you bring out are issues of political party reorganization in terms of those that will have missed out narrowly and those that, as the electorate, those that will have made the wrong choices to right the wrongs that they will have made in a previous scenario. And, of course, it may be interesting, and at the end of the day, it comes out to the political players and the political mobilization strategies that the political parties will then present to the electorate to say, yes, if we are going to re-elect the same disorganized and confused leadership within the opposition body politic, is this what we want as a people or as the constituents or electorate? And at the same time, there are also questions that will be bordering on saying comparatively, what will be the advantage of going to a party that already is on a tilted scale in terms of the numbers within the lower house, which is the legislature in the house of in the parliament, and in the upper house, which is the Senate. So on that note, you'd also want to see that the electorate would also be jolted into an exciting mode to give a presentation of going with the numbers of those that they feel to be on the better side with regards to the legislative agenda and the passing of bills, which ultimately will culminate to a two-thirds majority within the House. And what the advantages of having a leadership and the political party with a two-thirds majority. These are some of the issues the electorate will consider. But on the other hand, you'd also want to not forego the point that voter apathy and electoral fatigue may play in. But you'd also want to see the excitement of another second chance that will have been presented by these by-elections.
Mr. Zicky, a week ago when I was interviewing Singiso Chabangu and I asked him, you know, look, the prospects of the opposition reclaiming these seats, he suggested that Bulawayo will always go to the opposition because it's a protest vote against the ruling party. Do you, what's your sentiment or take on that? Do you think that sort of dynamic will continue to play out or will be a factor?
I think largely decisions with political outcomes are largely determined by the trends of the past elections. So you'd want to see within the past three or four elections we've heard since the formation of the opposition in the late 90s and early 2000s, you'd want to see that this, in terms of the trends, when you focus on the qualitative and quantitative poll surveys, you'd want to see that to a large extent, Mr. Chabangu is basing his baseline on the trends that have occurred and transpired over the past four or five elections we've had since the advent of the opposition onto the body politic of Zimbabwe. But I want to also say that the people in Matabeleland and are not a homogeneous entity in terms of the groupthink that would assume will take place come December 9th. And I said those kind of trends will be largely influenced by the work that the political parties themselves will play. So I'd want to think that also the people of Blue or Matabeleland in particular are people that largely continue to grow within the understanding and appreciation of politics. But nevertheless, whatever outcome may be presented with by the by-elections, you'd want to see that at the end of the day, the structure of where we are going for the next 5 years has been defined by the 23-24 August harmonized elections, with the sense that we are certain the ruling party has a particular set of seats that they have within the lower and upper house. We are also certain that there may be seats that may be added to the number, because as it were, you'll see that within the oppositional structure and body politic, they are the ones on a back footing. So what is essential is a concerted effort, probably by the two players within this contest, which is a contestation of ideas. It is a contestation where presentations must be made for a wholesome Zimbabwe that is going forward. And you'd also want to see that from the ruling party perspective, there is this leaving no one and nobody behind, and this devolution agenda that seeks to encompass all regions despite political persuasions and inclination.
Are you not concerned, though, that if these seats are lost by, if the opposition fails to retain the seats, they go into the hands of the ruling party and they get this two-thirds majority, that it could affect, you know, accountability, being held to account, because now essentially they can rubber stamp anything they want in parliament?
No, this is, I think this is just a notion that has been said to the people, that when you have this two-thirds majority, you can wantonly implement policies and issues that disregard the opinions of the various strata of the constituencies, be it business, be it religious sectors, be it minority groups. But with the evidence and the trends that have been used to observe, the ruling party has not left anyone behind since the advent of the Second Republic, in my opinion and in my view. And from the observations that we have seen, we've seen a wholesome and all-encompassing approach to get really everyone, where with the vision of the ruling party through their leader, His Excellency the President, Comrade Ibim Nangagwa, you'd want to see that they are saying they're not going to leave anyone behind. And it is evidence within the past 4 years, and the fifth year we are in an election. So I think having two-thirds majority allows for a smooth, cohesive approach in terms of the apparatus of the bureaucracy, which is government, in terms of ideological calibration, in terms of understanding how and where, in which direction the nation needs to go forward.
Okay, indeed. Well, certainly we don't know the outcome or what will happen in those elections, but we'll be watching it very, very closely to see what happens there. The notion that some people have suggested that, you know, calling for, or the recalls are a betrayal of the people, because they've already spoken, they've already had their will and made their choice. Now, by recalling them, Chabangu is basically betraying the people's choice.
In my understanding, I think Chabangu has exercised his constitutional right with regards to the association, the right to associate with a certain political party, and he has presented his credentials and his years within the movement of the opposition body politic. And he has observed it deteriorate from a structured opposition that would feel, so they say, would fulfill the aspirations of bringing about what they would view as an alternative to the governance of this country. But probably, in terms of the administrative aspect of the party, Chabangu has hit the nail on the head by realizing and recognizing and putting it out to the people that the oppositional structure is really a one-man band and it's not sustainable. And what he is advocating for, in my opinion and view, is a probably more structured, well-defined and concretized opposition. So the betrayal of any hope, any ideology, any school of thought through the oppositional structure, I think probably is as anyone would be allowed to have an opinion on certain issues, but with valid opinions that then carry forward in a progressive manner. But what Chabang has done, he has shown that the leadership by Nelson Mandela, by Nelson Chamisa, is largely an individualistic approach where it's all about him. That is why even logo and the representation of the party is his face. Mm-hmm. And you'd be surprised to hear the information and say that they don't even have a constitution. They don't even have a bank account. So where is accountability that they seek then to bring into the legislature, which they so cry that if the seats that are up for grabs in the by-election go to the ruling party, there will be an accountability. So really we see that if they are then to re-elect the same opposition party that is so fluid, so structureless, and to a large extent, largely unorganized. We are bringing that as an electorate within those constituencies into legislature, a level and magnitude of disorganization.
Indeed. So this lack of organizational structures, as you put it, and certainly many people have mentioned, do you see it having an impact in terms of the party going forward if it is not addressed?
I'm sort of losing you, Farai.
Okay, can you... No, I was saying, as you've pointed out, the absence of structures and these sort of formalities that you've mentioned that are required in a political party, the fact that they're absent, what impact do you see them having on the party going forward?
The moment the members and individuals within that party, the moment they realize that there is such a loophole within that framework, you don't have discipline within that party. No one can call to order any member if they realize that they must manipulate or they must jump onto that wagon of indiscipline and that free canon approach where at the end of the day, you don't have a superior and you don't have methods of redress in terms of in the event that there is conflict that arises. There is no recourse or fallback plan on when you have such looseness in terms of fluidity of a party that lacks structures, that lacks a constitution, that lacks quite a number of key requirements of institutional pillars that are required to define strong institutions. Mm-hmm. And one other element and aspect that any constitution, which is the supreme law of the land, is to recognize and support the availability and the growth of strong institutions. And how are strong institutions created in terms of their architecture? It is known in terms of the foundational architecture, the pillars that support the structure, and the covering that then is over such institutions. So lack of that, anyone can use any entrance and any exit.
All right.
Anyone can go through the roof or even go through the windows, and no one can call them to order.
Indeed. Some listener contributions coming through. I'll begin with one from Dara Mofo, where he's saying, the good thing is that the electorate is mostly urban and they can determine what is correct and what is deception. I think he's speaking to the fact that, you know, there continue to be these issues around the authenticity of Chabangu within the parties. Another listener saying, if the party has no structures, if it's a structureless party, then where does the post of SG come from in such a party? Again, speaking to these issues of authenticity, is he indeed the SG? Does he claim to be what he is? And things like that. Hello, can you hear me?
Hello?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
No, yeah, certainly. I was just reading some contributions from our listeners who were speaking, I think, to the point of the authenticity of Chabangu, just yes. Speaking to, yeah, saying, look, if the party has no structures, where does the position of SG come from? And Mdara Mofu also wrote in and said, look, the good thing is that these by-elections are in an urban constituencies, and the people there will be able to discern what is fact and what is deception.
Yes. Contributions are quite valid, and they really point out to the earlier presentation that we proffered based on the setting, and we acknowledge that in any election, urban voters have a certain inclination in terms of how they then react to any political decision at the end of the day. But what is key is their decisions, have they yielded any different outcome in terms of their developmental needs? I think that is one of the key questions that the urban electorate then has to answer in terms of saying, all right, fine, with the trends that we've had in the past 4 or 5 elections, since 2000, what has this yielded in terms of our developmental needs as a society within that context of elections?
Also, I mean, I think a very important point to note is the fact that these by-elections come at a cost. This is perhaps money that wasn't budgeted for by Treasury. It was unforeseen. And some people suggesting that money could have been put to much better use. It is a burden as well.
Yes, Farai. The elections really and really do come at a cost. And we've said that's the price we pay for democracy. And the cost to have democratic representation is what we must bear and must be borne by the country through Treasury. And yes, we may say it wasn't going to be necessary, but at the end of the day, this is a constitutional requirement that must be fulfilled. These people cannot go a 5-year term without representation. And for that to happen, if the triple C was more organized, this wouldn't have happened. And so, the listeners, the electorate know who caused this cost to be on Treasury and government. And but at the end of the day, this is a cost that must be borne. People must have representation. They cannot stay another 5 years without a member of parliament, no senators, no people within the women quota, in the youth quota, representing them in the lower house.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Mr. Aziki. I want to thank you for your time and for being part of this discussion. I think it has certainly been very informative and helpful to our listeners. And we look forward to speaking to you again as we build up towards those by-elections and perhaps analyze and unpack the outcomes once we do know how things go.
Thank you, Farai. Thank you, ZFM, for having me. And thank you, listeners, as well.
Fantastic. That was political analyst Mr. Elton Ziki, who was speaking about the by-elections due to take place on the 9th of December, 2023. We're going to take a short break on Ask the MP, and we'll be back very shortly to continue the discussion. Do get in touch with us if you'd like to have a say in this issue. 0772-168-045. 0772-168-045. Tell us, you know, your thoughts on the fact that we're going into a by-election. election? Do you think it's necessary, your feeling, your sense on that, how you think things will go? If you are in the particularly affected constituencies, will you go out and vote? Would want to find out if there will be this apathy and voter fatigue, or if indeed people will go out and take the opportunity to express themselves and have their say. This is Ask the MP. It is only on ZFM Stereo, my station, your station. We'll be back very, very shortly.
We are Z.
1, 2, 3.
Let's go.
The music you love. It's the music we play all day.
I'm so sick of them coming up you, yeah. If I was a man, if I was a man, I'd be the man.
Your station for all the hits. ZFM Stereo.
Spit it! Spit it! Spit it!
Don't know who the four. Gala envy and grudge when I got a leader humble big and don't know who the four. Panning in the rhythm thing to touch. Oh, non the batter rope, what you got the O. High life, dear Yako, we got my girl. When I can't stay, I'm on solo.
To Ask the MP on ZFM Stereo, my station, your station. It is a Wednesday evening, and we do thank you so much for joining us in this discussion. We're discussing the by-elections due to take place on the 9th of December. We know that the nomination court sat yesterday to receive nominations of those people who will be participating in the hoping to participate in those by-elections. Earlier, we spoke to political analyst Elton Ziki, just seeking his views. And now I'm joined on the line by the ZANU-PF Information Officer, Takudzwa Gambiza. Welcome to the program, Takudzwa. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good evening, Babu.
All right. Fantastic. Great to have you on the line. Very quickly, we just wanted to seek your views, and we thank you for your time. These by-elections are coming up. I suppose as a party, you may have given up hope and said, we'll try again in 5 years' time. But now you've got an opportunity to campaign again and try to win those constituencies. Do you think that you have what it takes to overturn the results from the previous election?
All right, thank you. So if you were reading quite well from the 2023 harmonized election, the 23rd harmonized elections, you could see that in most instances, the seats that we lost with small margins. And as a party, soon after we finished the elections or we concluded the elections, ZANU-PF as a party that is organized, the leadership quickly convened a Politburo, a central committee meeting, and then also a conference. All these meetings or conferences or leadership, where the leadership called its membership, was to give feedback on what had happened during the election and the areas of improvement that are there. So this is ZANU-PF. It's a very huge party. It's a party that considers how its members, the views of its members. So we had to quickly call for all these meetings. And then even at grassroots levels, be it at provincial levels, be it at district levels, people engaged in meetings, looking at the issues that had, looking at the election, how it had unfolded, where we didn't perform well, what were the reasons. And we started to polish those areas. And also, mind you, the president has even shown his eagerness to continuously improve the livelihood of Zimbabweans. He has continued with his projects, and life after the election has actually improved. People have seen quite a lot of stability after elections, whereas our compatriots in the opposition thought that it was going to implode after the elections. They thought there was going to be violence. So the people now who didn't believe in ZANU-PF during the 2023 election, they now believe in us more after having realized that we are a party for the people. We don't mind where we lost, even in Chitungwiza, where we had lost. We continue to build roads and improve on infrastructure and the livelihoods of our people. So this gives us more confidence. If you look at Mabvuku Tafara, when Comrade Scott Sapukanya lost the election, he didn't disengage from the community. He actually continued to give back to the community. As he had promised, he continued to pay school fees for the vulnerable groups in the constituency. So the people are now realizing what type of an animal ZANU-PF is after the election, and what it is under the new dispensation leadership of President E.B. Mnangagwa. So we are quite confident that the works that we were doing before and we continue to do are what is going to give the people the mandate to vote for us, like what they did for President E.B. Mnangagwa. So we're quite confident of winning back the constituencies that were lost to us. The people in the urban areas are now realizing how organized ZANU-PF is, and also how organized its leadership under President E.B. Mnangagwa is. And people are going to vote for us in their numbers, and losing is no option. We are going to win many seats in this particular by-election, and we are quite happy that the call by the opposition ever since the election, where they were claiming that they wanted fresh elections, now they've instigated for fresh elections within their rank and file, and now we are going to have those elections, and we are happy.
Okay.
We are happy that they always wanted elections, and they've instigated the process. Now we are going to have elections, and we are going to win as ZANU-PF.
Takudza, some people have suggested that, particularly in Bulawayo, that those people will never vote for the ruling party. That it's a protest vote, so whoever is there, it will the vote will not come to your party.
Well, those people do not understand what the electorate is going through. You know, what they realized during the just after the election, when there was the imposition of a mayoral candidate with a former Rhodesian, people were not happy in Bulawayo. Now they've realized that the opposition does not stand with the people. There is a hidden agenda where one individual or a certain group of people are pushing a specific agenda of being like what their fellows interim secretary general was saying, that people are being bribed to impose candidates, to impose people. Look at what happened in Victoria Falls. There was an element of them trying to impose a mayoral candidate, and the people rejected. So the people now see that ZANU-PF listens to the interests of the people, whereas wherever there is a need for a leadership post, ZANU-PF goes back to the people, and we tell the people that there is a vacancy. What do? We go for primary elections. Look at this process. Just after the 23rd, we had candidates all over the country. In those constituencies whereby elections have been instigated, we had candidates that stood under the ZANU-PF ticket on the 23rd of August, 2023. But we did not impose those candidates back to the people. We said, no, the people need to select their candidates. If they like you, they will vote for you again. If they don't, they will choose another individual. So ZANU-PF is a party that listens to the people. When we lost all the seats in Bulawayo, we went...
Oh, that line seems to have dropped. We'll try and get Takudzwa back on the line again, but we seem to have lost that line. It dropped. That was Takudzwa Gambiza, information officer for the ruling ZANU-PF party. We're going to try and get him back on the line. There are some questions that had come through here that I'd really certainly like to put to him. Listeners saying that, you have... said things are improving and all those sort of things. So we hope to have him back on the line so that we can speak to him and have him answer those questions. We're actually trying to reach him now. So just give us a few seconds to try and get him on the line, and we'll continue this discussion. Unfortunately, without much joy, to get hold of Takudzwa Gambiza. It must be a network issue, but we certainly wanted to get him back on the line. I'd like to just acknowledge some listeners who got in touch with us. I'll read out the contributions because they're certainly very, very important to us. Humba got in touch with us, and this is a question he wanted to pose to Mr. Gambiza. He had said, look, you have said things have improved since the elections, but what is going on with ZESA? That is Humba getting in touch. Also saying, the people will never buy into this. I understand Shabangu did not field a candidate in Mavuku Tafara. Another listener got got in touch with us and saying to label Mr. Coulthard a former Rhodesian is racist. You need to withdraw that statement. Would you say the same about Honorable Sako or Honorable Kirsty Coventry? So I just want to acknowledge and thank all those listeners who got in touch with us. Unfortunately, because of network issues, we can't get Mr. Takuzwa Gambiza back on the line. We're speaking to him. The line dropped. Earlier, we spoke to Elton Ziki, a political analyst, and we're just trying to unpack these upcoming by-elections. December 9th is when people will go to the polls, and you can be assured that ZFM will keep you abreast and up to date with what's happening as we head into those by-elections, as well as what will transpire in those by-elections. Certainly hoping to hear as many voices from the protagonists, those who will be participating in the election, whether they are trying to retain the seat or, you know, they are trying to re-win the seat. We'll try to speak to as many of those people as possible and give you an opportunity to interact and interface with them, because this program does belong to you and it is an opportunity for you to interface and interact with the people that you vote for. Thank you so much for everyone who tuned in. Thank you so much for choosing ZFM Stereo. Keep it here for the rest of your evening's entertainment. Coming up at 8:30 will be the Y Zone. Very interesting topics that will be discussed there, so make sure you stay tuned in for that, and there will be lots more to keep you entertained throughout the course of the evening. My name is Farai Mwakutuya. Thank you once again, and I'll be back again on Monday to do the very same thing, so be sure to join me then. Good night.
We are Z.
1, 2, 3,
let's go!
The music you love. It's the music.